So welcome to another episode of We're Disappointed. Okay, today we have a guest speaker who goes by the name of Nogun, and we are going to discuss Star Wars, which is quite the fertile ground for conversation. So I'm expecting some good things today.
Also, you may recognize Nogun's voice as the voice at the end of the podcast that does the credits.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Introduce yourself. You're a Star Wars
noob.
Aficionado, expert. Would you consider yourself such?
Oh, I am in no way, shape, or form a Star Wars expert. I am a fan.
You a damn lie.
I'm a lifelong fan. Well, you'll know an expert when you speak to an expert because they go into way entirely too much detail. But
that just sounds like a jerk.
I mean, that's what an expert is. An expert is someone who sounds like a jerk when they're talking about something.
An expert seems like someone who can answer your question, but they should be able to do it in a succinct way rather than boring you to death and making you forget why you asked the question in the first place.
Okay, I'll say a self-proclaimed expert sounds like a jerk. Someone who's labeled an expert by other people can answer your questions and explain things.
Okay, so you're an expert then, right?
Sure, for our intents and purposes.
Okay. All right, so when did you first get into Star Wars?
It was probably around 9 or 10. I think I saw Empire Strikes Back with like my grandparents. We were at their house for like Thanksgiving or something like that. What my family usually does is we'll watch a series of movies over a holiday visit to like engage the children. So, been quite some time. So yeah, probably around 9.
And the Empire Strikes Back was the first one that you saw? So you didn't, like, see them in order?
No, I didn't see them in order. I saw the Empire Strikes Back, then I saw Return of the Jedi, and then I watched them all in a row.
What's your favorite of the original trilogy?
Empire Strikes Back.
Is it because you saw it first, or because you think that objectively it's the best one?
You know, I can't say. I'm going to say that it's because it's the first one I saw, not because it's the best one. For me, since it engaged my interests, it's kind of how it holds like a special place in your heart.
Mm-hmm. So which do you think is the best one of the original trilogy?
Empire Strikes Back.
So it's your favorite because it's the best one, and it's because the one that you saw first.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Well, what makes it the best one?
Boba Fett.
That's it. That's all you need to be the best one is Boba Fett.
That's it. That's all you need.
But what about Boba Fett? Like, we've talked about this. He's, like, in the movie for, like, 5 seconds.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I mean, like, you know, obviously you do you. You enjoy the things that you enjoy. But I've never understood the, like, obsession with such a minor character. Like, he doesn't even do anything.
It's like Nihilus from Mass Effect 1.
Right?
Well, all right. So let's dive into my 9-year-old brain and try to figure out what happened. Because I've never been able to explain it. So I'm introduced to this, what I now know is a space opera, right? Science fantasy. And, you know, there are people running around with laser swords and, like, you know, moving things with their minds and whatnot. And then, like, The probably most intimidating guy in the galaxy, this giant black dude, in both voice and in, you know, his armor color, is walking around telling a room of what I understood was, like, bounty hunters to go out and get this guy. And he points to, like, the shortest person in the room, says specifically, no disintegrations. I'm like, oh, he's running around disintegrating people for like a business style, right? That's his MO. He disintegrates people. And you have to tell him specifically not to do it. I'm like, oh, I want to be that guy.
I want to be that guy.
I'd rather be the guy disintegrating people than the people being disintegrated.
I mean, fair.
Well, yeah. But, like, lots of people, like, is it because you specifically wanted to disintegrate people? Like, did that appeal to you?
No, I don't want to disintegrate people, but, I mean, it sounds cool.
Like, just that he is a badass.
It does sound
or something.
Cool.
And, like, when you look around the room also, like, there's all these, like, different. Like, I watched the movie, like, the first time I watched Empire Strikes Back, I watched it two times after that, right? Because I was over at my grandparents' house for, like, the weekend. And I just watched the same movie and over again. So I got to see a little bit more detail. And, like, his armor just looks cool. He has, like, the nice helmet on. Like, one of the only two people in the room wearing armor, which makes sense because people have blasters, right? And you want to be armored. And, like, I don't know. There's something about his color scheme and, you know, he was short. So that's a bonus because I'm a short guy. What else? I don't know. Just the disintegrations. I don't want to be the guy disintegrating people, but if you gotta. I say this as I'm sitting here in my Boba Fett hoodie, by the way.
Very appropriate. Nice. I mean, if you have anything you want to say, go ahead and throw it out there. But I'm checking notes to try to stay on track.
I think it's bullshit the way he died, but that's a long and angry story.
I mean, feel free.
I mean, he's one of the best bounty hunters in the galaxy. He has a jetpack. It's a common thing to have on his person, right? He knows what it does, and it gets hit by like a stick, and then it shoots him off into the sky, into the mouth of some sand beast. I'm just like, you're making him look like a chump.
Wait, isn't he still alive?
But to go out like that. But it's embarrassing.
But he didn't go out. It was just a temporary inconvenience. We're all embarrassed sometimes. We've all tripped upstairs.
I just don't think he does.
How long do you think he was in there? Like, in the Sarlacc?
How long do I think he was in there? Probably, like, a couple of months to a year.
How long do you think they're going to say he was in there?
That's a good question. Like, I try not to read this. Because I just thought it was bullshit for him ended up in there in the first place. But I'm glad they're bringing him back. But I can't imagine. I forget how long they say the Sarlacc digest things. I think it's like over the course of like decades.
Yeah, it was something like 1,000 years or something stupid and crazy like that.
Obviously, you can't live that long, but.
Give us some obscure lore about Star Wars. Kathleen Kennedy lore.
I was going to say, like, obscure, like, all of it's obscure now that she's in charge, right? All the stuff that was canon is now not canon. Obscure lore. Obscure for a Star Wars fan or for a non-Star Wars fan?
I mean, someone who does not know as much as you know. You are a labeled by someone else expert, after all.
The Sith, which is what Darth Vader and Kylo Ren... And Snoke and all those people, Emperor Palpatine is a species and not just like the name of Dark Jedi. It's a species that started breeding with Jedi.
What?
So originally, thousands and thousands of years ago in a galaxy far, far away, there were just Force users. There were no Jedi and Sith. And then the ones who decided they wanted to do like dark sorcery and embrace like the darker side of things, they were cast out of the Jedi Order into the unknown regions. And there they found a race of Force-sensitive beings called the Sith and basically started getting it on with them. And then years later, the Sith come out of the unknown region as like an entire army and they start a war with the Jedi.
Okay, but like you could still like turn Sith,
yeah, so it
right?
went from being because... just a species to a way of life, so to speak, I guess.
Okay. All right, that makes sense.
I want another one. Is that covered in the Old Republic and also Clone Wars? I feel like both those things are kind of touched on in those things.
It's not covered in the Clone Wars, but I think it is covered in the Old Republic. Another obscure one, I guess, is very similar to the Sith, and this is kind of why they kind of tie together or come together so much. The Mandalorians are also from a race of people, and not just like idea. Like they become an idea later on, but there was like a race that the Mandalorians come from.
But I mean, is this different from the super Aryan looking race that was in the Clone Wars? Or
you see, that's the Disney rewrite of the Mandalorians. Originally, the Mandalorians, I forget what the original species was, but they went around conquering worlds, and instead of, much like the Persians, instead of just like killing off an entire race of people, they would allow them to join their ranks. But everyone wore the same kind of armor to kind of symbolize that their unity. And as more species joined, you get more people wearing these T-shaped visors running around. And then Mandalorian just became a lifestyle you adopted, not who you were originally. So once you put the armor on, they don't care where you're from, which is something I kind of latched on to as a kid because it was pretty cool.
And when, how did you find that out?
After I watched The Empire Strikes Back 10 times, my grandfather also had like some old comic books. And like he was into like Star Wars, Star Trek.
So you like inherited this.
Essentially. And as I'm reading his comic books, you know, he ran out. So I was like, okay, we're going to go to the comic book store. He's like, no, I'm not going to go there. I was like, all right, so I'm going to go to the comic book store. And I just came back with like a stack of like Star Wars comics and started reading up on the lore. And then I started getting the books. And I would blow through those just, like, super quick. I forget which book it was exactly. But they've kind of expanded on what it meant to be a Mandalorian as the years went on, especially after the prequel series. They had like tons of books talking about Mandalorians. And of course, I bought all of those and read all that lore. So I was very disheartened when Disney said, you know what? Uh-uh.
Just nuked it all to hell for money.
Yep. Disappointment.
I really liked, what's her name, Karen Travis's books and what she did there. Like, do you count them as Mandalorians, technically? Like, the Karen Travis books were following a squadron of clone troopers, and she, like, humanized them a lot, and she put the Jedi in more of, like, a gray area instead of, like, the super black and white that they're portrayed in literally everything else. And Disney didn't like that, and they trashed that, too. But this particular squadron of clone troopers were raised by a Mandalorian. Was his name Skarada?
Yeah, I believe that was his name.
And they seemed like they were more clone trooper, I mean, more Mandalorian than just, you know, fodder for the Republic. So, in my opinion, I think they're more, like, where it ended, like, weren't they going to, like, Mandalorian, not space, but someplace with those kinds of people to get away from where the Empire, or Republic, rather, could get them?
Correct. So, Karen Travis, while there were, like, stories about Mandalorians prior to her, she really expanded on the culture of what it meant to be a Mandalorian. And so she wrote those the Clone Trooper series, but she also did write like some one-off books within the Star Wars universe, specifically anything that had to talk about like Boba Fett and like his father. But in the end of that story or that series, they did go to Mandalore, and that's where they were kind of hiding out from the Empire. But the Empire was on Mandalore, so they were like, that's just prior to when they start wiping out Mandalorians, the Empire, which they don't touch on anything in the new canon, I guess.
All right, so speaking of the new canon, tell us your thoughts on the Mandalorian show.
You know, I want to say I love it, and I do, because it hits like some very like kind of nostalgic themes from my childhood. It's a very like Western style show, but I didn't watch Westerns as a kid growing up. But what I do like, and it's kind of similar to stories I've read about, you know, you always have the story with the hero, and he has to undergo quests and like trials to reach his goal. And that's something I liked reading as a kid, and I enjoy watching the show. It gets tiresome. Like, every episode is like, oh, you want to get this? Well, you have to do this first. It's like, man, give this guy a break. Well, then we wouldn't have anything to watch. And it's the Mandalorian, while it's about, you know, one of my favorite topics, Mandalorians, I feel like if Star Wars had gone in that direction of making a series as opposed to the new movies, it would have fared a lot better. Because I don't know, are we supposed to talk about the movies?
Yeah, they're on here. Say whatever you want.
Okay. I mean, the movies are trash. They're terrible. I hated them. People have blamed Kathleen Kennedy. I didn't go down that rabbit hole of looking into why she's to blame for much of the decisions that went down, but it hurt me to watch those last three movies. Like, each movie was like a blow to my soul.
Explain.
Even the first one? I didn't think the first one was that bad.
The first one was good, but like the first one, just made the last two worse.
You could see the fall off in quality.
Yeah. It was like, you could see, like, yeah. The first one, there was no established, there was kind of an established story. And then with the 8 and 9, you can see, like, things kind of going off the rails. Like, characters they shoved in your face and made you care about were pointless.
Like Finn.
Mm-hmm.
Like Finn and Rose. That's what everyone argues about, right? Finn and Rose. Even Poe Dameron is like, he didn't get enough credit. Like, with the original series, you know, you have all these influential characters. Han Solo, Chewbacca, Lando Calrissian. And, like, whether they're on the screen for a little bit amount of time or a longer amount of time, like, they're important to the story and moving along. But with the new ones, it seems like you have two characters that are the sole focus of the movie, and everyone else is just shit.
Well, and it's like, I don't even think, I mean, if you're talking about the two characters being the focus, like Rey and Kylo, like I wouldn't even necessarily consider them a focus. Like, I feel that the whole driving thrust of everything was just to, like, give us more sparkly battles, fighting scenes. Like, that's what every piece, everything that happened in that movie, it propelled you towards another one of those. And so it didn't really matter, like, who the characters were or what the plot was, as long as eventually, after a prescribed number of minutes, like, we got another fight scene.
I guess that's pretty true. Who was, I'm trying to figure out, like, what was the longest movie? I guess it was 8. Or it felt the longest anyway.
That's the one with a space chase?
The
silent space chase?
the epic space taxi that went on for entirely too long. Like, especially when they hyped the movies up about this new Star Wars saga that was going to be starting. Like, you know, the speculation about who Rey's parents were. Like, they had, like, Finn on there, and he's like, oh, it's like a Force-sensitive stormtrooper. Cool. Right? Poe Dameron, supposed to be this epic pilot, but you see him fly, like, twice. And, like, I'm sure, like, you've seen that, like, the, like, everyone talks about how it's a cash grab. It's a cash grab. It absolutely is a cash grab. And I paid my money. I gave them my money. I felt shitty about it. But I gave it to them because I had hope. I had hope, and I was a fan. And they let me down.
I also, like, when we saw it, I thought the whole thing was going to go in a different direction rather than just retrotting the same path. Like, it was essentially like a soft reboot, wasn't it?
Essentially. And one of my biggest gripes with Star Wars, and this also ties into why I liked Boba Fett even more over the years, was Star Wars, in essence, is a story of elitism. Right? You have a select few people who have this ability that no one else can interpret or comprehend, and they get to run the galaxy.
Midichlorians.
Yes. And even above all of those people is one family that is to blame for a lot of the strife that goes on through the galaxy, and that's the Skywalkers. Like, everything in the Star Wars universe revolves around the Skywalkers, according to the movies. Like, in every single movie, that's the focus, Skywalker, Skywalker, Skywalker. But there are all these other interesting small characters that have, like, that add to the lore of the universe, and you don't get to engage with any of them. You just engage with this elite family. And it's super annoying, especially the more you read about the lore and how.
Well, I don't think that necessarily focusing on, not that I think it was well executed, obviously, but I don't think that focusing on, like, the trials and tribulations of a single family for a series of movies is a bad thing.
For 9 movies,
like,
though?
I feel that, like, having that, well, no, not for 9 movies, but, like, having that, like, continuous thread, like, I think that that makes sense to me. Like, from a story standpoint, like, I'm interested in, like, the rise and the fall of a particular family.
I can get behind that. I just feel it was done poorly. So, here's some more lore. So, in the expanded universe, that's what they call the shit now, the old stories, like, Kylo Ren is Ben Skywalker, right? And his parents are Han and Leia Solo. Fine. In the books, I think it was far more interesting. In the books, the Solos had three kids, Jason, Jaina, and Anakin. Why would you name your son after your grandfather or after your crazy father? I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, it's like naming your kid Adolf.
Luke also has a kid whose name is Ben Skywalker. So Jason Solo, son of Han and Leia, becomes a great Jedi Knight. He has a twin sister, that Jaina. Like, they're both supposed to be equal in the Force, very similar to Luke and Leia. But Jason slowly goes insane with power, like, over the course of, like, many stories. So when he starts getting into his, like, late 20s, he starts turning to the dark side. And he becomes a Sith Lord. And it's the mission of his sister to kill him because he's turned to the dark side. So, like, all that stuff, like, all that buildup happens over the course of, like, I don't know, like, maybe 10 books, probably more than that. But the way they go into his character and how he develops over the years makes him a more interesting character rather than Kylo Ren, who gets into, like, I want to say a force argument with his uncle. That's what I'm going to call it. Throws a fit and immediately goes to the dark side. And just proceeds to throw tantrums for like three movies. He's not a character I want to get behind or try to understand. He's just throwing temper tantrums throughout the movies. And you don't really get to see what has turned him this way besides that one incident. One incident shouldn't immediately turn you into an evil asshole.
Yeah, unless you were already an evil asshole and just looking for a reason to act out.
My grandfather, who was a Sith Lord, can understand me. Arr, smash, smash, smash. I'm not going to clean my room, Dad.
I don't know if it could have, just because of like the people who are just making these decisions, period, like it probably still wouldn't have worked out well. But like, I do think that one of the failings is that like when you're trying to show the arc of a character like that, like you do need like a bit more time to do it. And so I kind of feel that it maybe would have been better as a TV show, because then you could have given like several seasons of like the slow turn of Ben Solo into Kylo Ren. Instead of it being a single incident, it could be like a series of things that just add up to him becoming the person that he becomes.
Like, I would rather watch 8 seasons of, you know, a Solo story than 8 seasons of Game of Thrones. Especially after watching the end. But the rush was to get the money, right? They weren't trying to build something. They wanted to cash in on what was already established. And it seemed like make like a quick turnaround. And they thought the flashing lights were enough.
But I mean, it's so old. Like, what was the rush? It's like Star Wars is how old? Like 40 years old? It's like they didn't have to hurry up and do that. They could have taken their time and done better. It's not like it's declining in popularity.
I mean, this was probably like 50 years old by now, but it's like, you know, that too many cooks thing, probably, or what happens to EA. I'm sure you guys talked about EA, right? Like, some bigwig gets it in their mind they want to do things this way. This is what I've heard in the ether out there, that bigwigs got their hands in there and they wanted to do things this way, and they ruined the artistic vision of whoever's directing the film or the writers. And you can kind of see like later on, like the cohesion kind of goes away and things just don't make sense.
Definitely.
Well, it just seemed like there was like it was going to go in one direction, and then it shifted and it was going to go in another direction, and it shifted and it went in an entirely different direction. And so like pretty soon, like it didn't even really matter. Like, any of the stories that we were building throughout these sequels, it was just like all disconnected and disparate. Yep,
absolutely. It was like by the end of like the, not even the end, by the middle of the ninth one, I was just like, oh, well, this is disappointing. I just turned my brain off. I just stopped receiving information. that was happening on the screen, because it didn't seem like any of it made a difference at that point.
It didn't make a difference, and like, it was also just boring. Like, I don't even really remember a whole lot of it, because none of it made any impression on me whatsoever.
Also, it didn't help that we watched it at like 2 o'clock in the morning. I think it was like midnight for you.
Yeah, but it didn't seem important for me to pay attention to anything that was going on, because I didn't need to know anything, because all that mattered was the fight scenes.
Which weren't even that good.
No.
Quite honestly.
They're boring.
Very much so.
Turned into a fight anime.
And this is, I feel like, I don't know how a outsider views Star Wars, but when I first watched The Empire Strikes Back, it was interesting, it was engaging. When I watched the rest of the movies, like, I understood what was going on. And while I was interested in finding out more about it, I didn't feel like I needed to know something, to know what, know like a specific piece of information, to know what was happening throughout the movies. But I felt like as they continued to expand on Star Wars in the movies, like, you had to know things in order to understand what was going on the screen. And I feel like that's why there aren't as many Star Wars fans as there could be. Because, like, they were doing their own kind of, like, I don't know, information gatekeeping there. Where they don't explain things enough, so you can't understand what's happening or why these people are important. And, like, The Mandalorian is similar. Where, like, while I do enjoy the show, I feel like if you're not a Star Wars fan, you're not really getting the most out of it. Like, they have, like I said with the movies, they don't touch on, like, these very, like, obscure characters that are very interesting. But The Mandalorian introduces those characters, but you wouldn't know anything about them if you hadn't read the books or watched the Clone Wars series.
Like who?
Like Bo-Katan. Like, she's a character from the Clone Wars series. And you wouldn't know anything about her or why she has the face paint on her helmet or any of that stuff unless you watch that series. Cobb Vanth, he was Timothy Oliphant in, I think it was the first episode of season 2 of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And he was like in 2 books. And like, while I was excited to see him as a character, like, you wouldn't know anything about him or why he's important. But that didn't make him, that wasn't required information to enjoy that episode, I feel like.
Yeah, and that's like, I didn't know that those characters were part of, like, other things, but I still enjoyed it, and I didn't feel that my enjoyment was, like, predicated on having that sort of knowledge. But I do remember, like, distinct moments in the sequels where, like, it was like, what the fuck is going on? And then, like, I find out that I needed to know, like, this other, like, piece of lore. And it's, like, it still, like, was garbage. Like, it was a garbage plot point. But it was, like, why do I need to, like, do all of this, like, obscure reading to find out, like, how and why this huge, like, Sith army is being built in these outer reaches and somehow nobody fucking knows about it.
Yeah, and that's a, like, a very delicate line to kind of toe. Like, that the point where you have enough information that people want to know more about the universe, as opposed to keeping people from understanding what's going on in the now.
Well, like, I should be able to watch that and, like, get enough information to where it makes sense to me, and I'm not like, wait, what? And then, like, know that I'm missing some sort of piece and, like, being forced to research it if I really cared to find out the answer to that question. But it's just, like, you should be able to give your audience enough information for them to get what's going on without there being all these questions. Like,
Shay, you're a writer, so you have to kind of navigate those same waters. Do you ever feel like you're... When you're watching these things, do you see any points where they slip up and, like, don't give enough or they give too much or anything like that?
I mean, yeah, all the time. Like, you guys covered it for the most part. Like, I don't really have anything to add to that. Like, I can't think of anything off the top of my head as far as the series, like the most recent movies, because I kind of like I watch them, I consume them, and now they're in the archives and I don't think about them actively.
Well, we watched a Prometheus, right? And we tried to like make sense out of that series. And like all three of us were like, what the hell is going on? Who is that? Why is he drinking this stuff and falling into this waterfall? And we still couldn't come up with the answer. Like I started Googling things.
I was gonna say, is there even supplemental information for Prometheus? Like, how big is that fandom? Like, how much do people care about that?
Oh, there's a Reddit for everything.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously it's not as big as Star
No, not as
Wars.
big as Star Wars, but there were like people who like go through the movie frame by frame and try to like theory craft as to why this is happening and what's going on.
And see, that is just seems so ridiculous to me. Like, not the idea of doing a deep dive into something and trying to figure out like extra nuggets of details, but like having to do that period to understand what the fuck is happening. Like, I shouldn't have to do like this deep and impassioned analysis of a movie to try to uncover the meaning of something that's honestly relatively simple. It's like it's an alien movie. It's like there shouldn't be some like really like heavy lift of lore that I have to understand in order to get the basic concepts of what is going on here. And the fact that they're like essentially forcing you to do that if you want to know why that guy drank like the funky liquid and jumped into a waterfall, like that's
I feel like
stupid.
on both
That's
these things, it's
lazy.
like two different issues. Like with the aliens, that's just like you said, it's lazy. It's bad writing. It's just fucking terrible. With Star Wars, though, I feel like it's, as Nogun said, a cash grab. It's like the stuff exists. They just want you to go look for it so you'll spend more money to get it. Because, as we said before, Disney is disgusting and disappointing in every possible way.
Well, joke's on them because I don't care enough to find
For
out the
every
information.
person like you who doesn't care, there's like 100 people who do care though, so they're like they don't care. They don't care that you
Yeah.
don't care.
I mean, like to be honest, like I was the last Star Wars thing I bought. Well, not Star Wars like license thing, but like a Star Wars like media thing. It had to be like the legacy of one of the legacy of the Force books. And I think the reason I bought that one was because Boba Fett was on the cover. And that was going into the whole Solo Skywalker family thing still years ago. But like Shay said, there's like for every person like you who is not going to buy their stuff, there's tons of people who are. And like the diehard fans, the ones who purchase every book, read every comic book, watch every movie, every show, like they've got to be spending a lot of money. Oh, I did just buy. Not just buy, like months ago, pre-pandemic, I bought an audiobook. Like, I think it was about Thrawn. I don't know.
That the Chiss
Yeah,
guy.
the blue skin Imperial guy. And while they do s just take money from everyone, Disney production value is off the chain. Like, that audiobook has like all these sound effects, and like you can hear like the breathing and the. They take a lot of care in the production of that. Now, if they,
It's almost like a radio play, it
yeah,
sounds like.
basically. I'm like, if they had just taken the time to do that with the movie, it would be great.
Well, they had a good writer, presumably, for the book, and they just threw some money at that. Like, they did the bare minimum at that point. They didn't have to come up with it. So, speaking of Disney and lore and books, are you interested in this new extended universe shit they're coming out with? That's like, what is it? Like, pre the Old Republic or something?
Am I interested? Yes.
Yes.
Will I purchase it? That is the question. I'd rather just steal somebody else's stuff and pirate it and
Ooh,
see what
don't say
turns
that.
out.
It's illegal. No, nope, we don't condone that.
Ooh.
Until I do it, it's not a crime. This is not Minority
Listen, you
Report.
don't even talk about it.
I think it's called the High Republic. And like you said, it is pre-Old Republic. It's supposed to be like the height of everything. And like the Star Wars timeline, let's just be honest, makes no
Yeah,
sense.
I feel like that's most things of this size, like the timeline is fucked.
It's like How can you go thousands of years without a noticeable change in technology? Come on, people. Get it together.
It's just the best.
But my greatest interest in the High Republic is the hope that there will be no Skywalkers, right? I want to see some interesting characters that are kind of obscure and not tied to that family, and hopefully a little bit more interesting.
You know they're going to have Anakin's great-great-great-grandfather there.
Except he'll be called Mudcrawler.
Oh, God. Instead of Skywalker, Mudcrawler.
Yeah.
He can't be there because Anakin was a Jesus baby. Therefore, he has no
grandma. Yeah, he was.
But, I mean, he got the mom's genes. Okay,
can we, like, talk about that? Like, how fucking weird that is. Like, I think that was the worst movie of the series.
The first one?
The first one?
Yeah.
When I first watched The Phantom Menace, wow. When I first watched it, absolutely hated it. Like, I wanted to punch that little kid in the face. Not a great actor.
One of those people who gave him a complex.
I wouldn't say it to his face. I wouldn't say it on the internet. I'm saying it to you guys and to anyone that's listening years after the fact. And he's in the past, so his feelings can't be hurt.
Whatever.
But a couple of things, like, brought my rage down. For one, you know, the midichlorian thing, fine. That makes sense. Like, how are you going to go thousands of years with these people that have these superpowers and no one's going to, like, say, okay, let me study your blood and see what's going on here. So they have an answer for that.
I don't know, because people are dumb.
Not everyone in the entire universe is that dumb.
Like, one of the things that I liked about the, at least what I understood to be the premise of the original trilogy, was that, like, essentially, like everyone, like, has access to the Force. Like, everyone, like, is to some degree, like, Force sensitive. But, like, some people are a little bit more talented than others. But, like, people could, like, with, like, proper application and practice, still, like, be all right. It's like someone, like, might be more inclined to be, like, musical or something like that, and so they're, like, a virtuoso, and so still, even with, like, proper training, they're going to become, like, amazing, right? They're going to create these just, like, fantastic symphonies. But, like, other people who aren't virtuosos, they could still practice and they can still, like, be fine, you know? They're still fine musicians. And so it's, like, this very, like everyone can do it sort of thing. But then it's like with the fucking midichlorians, it's like, no, not all of you can do it. Only the ones that have, like, these, like, weird little parasites in your blood can do it. And then only if you have, like, a lot of them. That's stupid to me. I feel it destroys, like, what I liked about the original premise.
Everyone does have midichlorians, but the levels that you have are different. So, I think there are, like, 6 levels they categorize people into. I think a normal midichlorian count is, like, somewhere between, like, 1,500 and 2,500 or something like that. I can't remember exactly. So that's a normal person, like Lando Calrissian or, I don't know, anyone else. But then you have people that are, like, kind of, like, marginally force sensitive, and they probably have, like, around, like, 5,000 or something like that. And that's probably what Han Solo is. So he's a little bit, like, his reflexes seem a little bit sharper than the average person. He's faster just in responses. And he's probably, like, his pilot prowess is probably tied to a higher level of midichlorians. And then you get to, like, the 9,000, 10,000 range. I think that's probably, like, the average level for a Jedi, like an average Jedi. What is that, 3? I think, like, Yoda, Anakin, Mace Windu, like, they're top tier, like, 6. They're probably in, like, a 16,000 range. I think it's 16 to 25,000. I can't remember. I'm just throwing numbers out here, by the way. So don't at me. But they're, like, top tier. Like, they can just harness the very nature of the Force itself. And those top tier people are the ones that you see as, like, Force ghosts. I don't know if you want to go into that. Those shenanigans. But Obi-Wan is probably a little bit lower than that. He's probably, like, tier 5. So everyone has the Force, but they're depending on your tier, your power tier, is what makes you, like, stand out in terms of your Force ability. And I call bullshit on all of this, by the way, just because, again, we're going into like that whole elitist kind of thing. Like, when I was a kid, I didn't want to be a Jedi Knight. I just wanted to be Boba Fett. Because I don't know what his force sensitivity would be, but he disintegrates people, so it doesn't matter.
Well, I don't like the idea of the force, I guess I like it more as like a spiritual sort of thing, which is how I feel that the original movies portrayed it as, and not like dependent on these little organisms inside of you.
Yeah.
But that's gross to me.
I mean, if you don't quantify them as organism and you just think of it as a person's connection to the spirituality of the universe, then it's not gross, but it still has to do with spirituality, right? Like the Buddha is supposed to be like a living person on Earth that is able to harness his focus and his energy and become one, kind of thing. Like, that's what people aspire to, and everyone's supposed to be able to attain that level of serenity or divinity, but you just have to kind of focus and I guess train on it or something like that.
Yeah, but I feel like the midichlorians upend that, because it seems that if I had just 1,000 midichlorians or whatever, I could never, no matter how hard I tried, no matter how hard I worked and applied myself, I could never have that connection to the force. It would never happen, because physically I'm limited by the number of little creatures in my blood.
Correct. But I guess I'm trying to think of an obscure Jedi somewhere, but your access to that power initially might be really great, but even someone like Obi-Wan beat Anakin, right? And Anakin's arguably a stronger Jedi.
Well, Obi-Wan had the high ground, so
yes. And if Anakin had harnessed his spirituality and focused on the moment instead of his anger, he wouldn't have jumped like a dumbass and lost his remaining three limbs. Obi-Wan was probably more attuned to the Force, because he was able to maintain composure and was more focused. Whereas Anakin was unfocused, and even though he was stronger, he got smote upon the mountainside. I don't know.
There you go.
Like you said, this whole midichlorian thing and the Jedi in general, that's... I admire the stories about the Jedi, but being like you said, there's a eliteness to that,
mm-hmm.
that I just couldn't quite connect to as a kid. And that's why I kind of focused on the Boba Fett and the Mandalorian and what that kind of, I guess, symbolized.
Mm-hmm.
My issue with Star Wars and the Jedi specifically, it's the same problem I have with Superman, and the same that we were talking about with beards in the other episode. It's just that they're boring for the most part. It's you know what they're gonna do. They're very predictable. It's very black and white. They're very Boy Scout for the most part. That's why I liked, just to go back to Karen Travis for a minute, she portrayed them as selfish, as self-serving, as mortal beings rather than the gods that everything else has them as, infallible and stupid. The Clone Wars, the terrible show, it's terrible to me. It's ugly. I don't like it. They kind of get into that a little more, but it's not enough for me. I guess they're trying to sell it to kids or something. I don't know. But just that whole shallow character development annoys the fuck out of me.
That was the one thing that I liked about the prequels, though, was the portrayal of the Jedi as they're really good, quote unquote, but they're lawful good, where they're just gonna follow the law, they're gonna follow bureaucracy, they're not gonna think about what actually is the right thing to do in a situation. They're just going to follow procedure and tradition. And so it's I felt that, and I don't know if I was supposed to get this impression, but I felt that seeing the Jedi be that way in the prequels, unmasked them. And it was no, they're actually not that great. They're hugely flawed. Like, they don't really think about, like, the consequences of their actions or inactions, as it may be, and, like, the ways in which they cause a huge amount of suffering. But they just, like, laud themselves and say, like, oh, well, we're, like, we're following, like, the laws of the Republic, so it's all good. Like, we're enforcing the laws of the Republic, so it's fine.
Are you talking about a specific incident?
Like the leaving of Anakin's mother on Tatooine.
But I feel that was mostly Qui-Gon Jinn specifically, because, like, the rest of them didn't even want him to begin with, and they should have just not had him. Like, who made the decision to keep him?
Oh, I don't remember.
Qui-Gon.
Because it's like, I thought when they brought him, it was like, well, he's too old. Why the fuck is he here? And I thought someone at that point, when it was like Windu and Yoda and whoever, like, sided with Qui-Gon to keep him. Or was it supposed to be like Qui-Gon was like, oh no, I'll train him. And then he fucking died.
Yeah, that was it. Qui-Gon decided to keep him. He was going to train him personally. And Qui-Gon, being a member of the Jedi Council, has enough sway that he can say, you know, fuck you guys, I'm going to do what I want.
But then he died. They should have just sent his ass back.
Well, not back. Like, not nah, back into back. Slavery.
Send him back to his mother.
No, but Qui-Gon left her. And my assumption behind Qui-Gon leaving her, because I didn't read the books tying to this, is that since once you become a Jedi, you're supposed to cut ties with, you know, all the people you care about. And you're supposed to go on this journey to not care about things, which doesn't make any sense, by the way.
And it's a lie, because they don't all even use that. Like, they don't stick to that. Like, what is that big dildo head one who has, like, a family or whatever?
Yeah, but that
dildo
that's,
head.
That's the thing, is that it's, like, as long as they can have, like, some sort of law on the books to allow these sorts of things, like, some sort of, like, obscure, like, bylaw in their, like, Jedi constitution, whatever, then they'll allow you to do this. But it's just like they don't stop to think about, like, what's really, like, the right thing to do in a situation. Like, it's just, well, we're all going to go with this obscure tradition of not having attachments, like, because reasons, except for this guy, also because reasons.
Yeah. The bad dragon head is Ki-Adi-Mundi, I think. And yeah, I think he had like two wives. I don't know. But him being a Jedi Master, rules don't apply, I guess. I don't know. The whole idea, and this another reason I don't really like the Jedi, is, you know, to remove attachments, that's how you become one with the Force and blah, 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 blah. But in the expanded universe, there were different, like, Jedi sects. So depending on what your flavor of Jedi this was, you can kind of move around to different places.
Mm-hmm. Like, what was it? The gray ones? Those are the ones that are like the hippies that were in the Karen Travis books?
Yeah. They're like, not to be confused with, like, a gray lightsaber, but they were like, you know, the world is not black and white, we're gray. So they kind of just go with the flow, follow the rules of, follow their moral compasses more, and listen to what the Force is saying and not what society is saying, I guess. But, you know, there are different, like, I can't remember if they are doing, they're probably not doing this in the current series, her current Disney iteration, but the lightsaber colors used to mean something about who you were as a person. And my favorite color was orange, because that meant, like, you wanted to do the right thing by any means necessary, kind of, so to speak. So you weren't going to stick to, like, this good side and only do what everyone tells you to do. But you weren't going to run out and be an asshole and exert your will on people. But just follow the rules and whatever your moral compass tells you to do and try to do the right thing. Much is the way I try to live my life, to my mother's dismay. But,
yeah, that's another podcast altogether.
I think now we just have, like, you know, the blue lightsabers, the green lightsabers, and potentially Mace Windu coming back from the dead somehow. Purple lightsaber, if you're a Jedi. And then you have, you know, the red lightsabers if you're a Sith.
That's it. That's your only option.
Oh, well, Ahsoka has white lightsabers, and they allowed for that, which is unique.
They want to sell them.
How you get a white lightsaber is that you take red lightsabers, which have been corrupted by a Sith, and then you put your positive Force energy into them and purify them, and they become white.
But weren't they just supposed to be, like, stones?
Yeah, but the stones only come in... Oh, the red lightsabers or lightsabers in
lightsabers
general?
Lightsabers in general. Like, yeah. Wasn't the color dictated by whatever stone you picked when you had to make it yourself?
the Kyber crystals in the Disney iteration only come in two colors, blue or green. And Mace Windu's is purple. I think his was originally blue when you add red to blue because he uses some of the dark side, which he is allowed to do for some strange reason. In his
this is such bullshit. This is so stupid and sanitized and weird.
Your lightsaber becomes red when you fall completely to the dark side and pour your hatred into it.
I don't like this.
They don't care.
I know they don't care, but I'm using my platform to say I don't like this. All right, I got one more question here for you. If they give in to, you know, their capitalist money grubby roots and reboot this whole thing, would you watch it?
Well, you mean like turn the entire series?
Like start it over from one through
from
9.
From 1 to 9?
No. Do the whole thing over. Why not?
My level of commitment, it has been exceeded with 7, 8, 9. Like, I don't want any more of the same old story. I don't care if they reboot it. I will watch any new thing that they produce to get like an interest in it, like the Obi-Wan Kenobi series. I'll probably watch that. For one, it's a series. For two, it's not retreading old territory. It's going about his time when he is supposed to be like watching over Luke on Tatooine. And I kind of wondered, you know, as a kid, like, what's this old man? What did he do with his entire life watching his child grow up from a distance like a creepy uncle?
What if they made it more cohesive?
I'll read the cliff notes, but I feel like I've read so many of the books. Like, it's already cohesive in my mind, and it's just the movies that have a problem.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, my Star Wars universe exists in my mind. It's fine there, but what you guys are doing, I'm not sure what that is. It's not Star Wars, so I'm okay.
All right, you got any other like closing thoughts? You got any questions, Jen?
Well, I guess I have a question for you because we know that Ben's favorite is Empire Strikes Back, but I wanted to know what your favorite was.
I don't have one.
You have to pick one though. I'm putting a gun to your head.
All right. If I had to pick under penalty of death. God, I don't really like any of them that much. Maybe 7?
Is that, that's The Force Awakens?
Yeah.
Because it had hope. But yeah, 7, because I had hope it was going to be something different. And it's like, the other ones are fine, they're just not my favorite movies. Like, if I had to sit down and put something on because I was, like, recovering from a cold or something, like, Star Wars would not be my first or second or third choice.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be my first choice either. Like, I'm fine with the movies. I enjoy them, like, some of them. But they're not my favorites.
So what is your favorite movie?
I think that my favorite is A New Hope. Because I think that one just stands on its own just fine.
Which one is that, specifically?
And that's, like, the very, very first one, like, chronologically. Like, episode 4. Because it's like, you just watch that, and that's it. It's all done. Like, you don't even have to think about anything else that happens.
Why did they make more? Was that also a cash grab?
I mean, well, optimistically, George Lucas had a story he wanted to tell, right? I don't imagine he was making a lot of money on these films. Like, I'm sure it did very well. But, like, it's nowhere near the money we see these days.
Right? I feel when he did the first one, it just did better than he could ever imagine.
Oh, 100% probably.
I think he got greedy and said, let's do more.
Go ahead. Like, I was going to say that, you know, I can't imagine like what it was like going into the theater for like the first time and like watching those movies. I think my boss said he saw it in theaters like the first time and he was like, he was blown away. And like he said he kind of got that same feeling from The Force Awakens, which The Force Awakens is my favorite of the new ones because I was excited for it, right? Because I thought this was going to be like a different story and it's going to be like interesting, but with some loose ties to like the old stuff, but again, walking into the theater for the first time, like seeing the original, I'm sure like A New Hope was like, it's like mind blowing, especially with like kind of special effects.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't remember what the time difference was between the movies. I feel like I want to look it up, but I'm not. But I don't know if it was.
Do you mean when they came out or?
Yeah, it was like between the time difference between 4 and 5 coming out. Because like, the way we churn out movies now, like what was the time difference between 7 and 8? Like a year? No, 2 years.
Yeah, it was 2 years.
It was 2 years, but they're already working on it immediately. Like, they knew they were going to make 3 movies. And So like they were just like constantly working on it. And then you had like the little sub movies between like the Solo Story and Rogue One.
I still haven't seen that Solo one.
So there was a Star Wars movie every year. And that's just crazy. Like especially with the amount of stuff that has to go into that production.
Difference is 5 years. I mean, I'm sorry, it's 3 years.
Between New Hope and Empire?
Yeah,
that's crazy. Oh, random obscure fact. Because Shay likes to complain about alien names in whatever I'm watching. The guy who designed Admiral Akbar got the name for his species because that's what he was having for lunch that day. Admiral Akbar is a Mon Calamari, and he was eating calamari for lunch that day.
I'm not surprised even a little fucking bit. Because that's totally what it sounds like.
Which doesn't make any sense, because like, if you're going to name a species like calamari, why wouldn't it be the Quarrens, which are the squid-faced guys?
Because he thought of Akbar first, and it was already written down.
Yeah, 100%.
But he did the second one, he's like, damn, I should have saved that.
But I do want to say this. I know a lot of people have expressed disappointment in Star Wars as a series overall, but I do think it is a very cool series, especially when you go into the expanded universe. And there are tons of people who have never seen a Star Wars movie, and I'm just like blown away by the fact, but I did not remember that I'm a huge nerd, so whatever. But I feel like it's even if you don't like the movies, they're fun to watch in a group.
Yeah.
Like if a group of family, a group of friends, like that's how I was introduced to it. And like I just had fun like talking to like my grandfather and like ask him about like these characters and what's going on here and just sitting back and enjoying it that way. But I feel like I feel like it's a good intro to science fantasy, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's a good point to end on your bit about being good intro sci-fi kind of stuff. I'm sure I'm not sure, but it's influential. Like I'm sure a lot of people have been inspired by this and based like career choices on their love of this thing. Like how can I make that, how can I make something in that world happen, like going into science and STEM and shit.
Oh yeah, there are like tons of YouTube videos of people like making lightsabers or trying to make lightsabers.
I mean more like, you know, real world practical things like, I don't know, electric cars, shit like that.
I mean,
hover cars.
I'm still waiting for that Bacta suit that Finn was running around in. I want a bubble suit that I can run around naked in.
What, the bubble one?
It's a bubble suit you can walk around in as it heals you.
All right, well, I'd like to thank Nogun for coming on the show. I've been prodding him about it for a while. Thanks for sharing your Star Wars knowledge with the rest of the class.
Thank you for having me. And like I said, don't at me if I got something wrong. You've just listened to We're Disappointed. Intro music is Feels Bad by Strong Suit. Outro music is Decisions by Dream Heaven. You can find them on the Free Music Archive and Pixabay. If you have something that disappoints you, you can send us a line at We're Disappointed on Twitter and Instagram, or our website at WeareDisappointed.com. And we can be disappointed together in future shows. Thanks for listening.